It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. Today marks 1 year since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. While the storm dominated media coverage here on the mainland, for many on the island, it was the beginning of a long period with no power, no internet, no cell reception, and very little access to information. And a year later, the lights are mostly back on, but many problems remain. Tanzina Vega, host of WNYC's The Takeaway, spent the week in Puerto Rico with some of her team. She's spoken with dozens of people there, and she joins us now from San Juan. Tanzina, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we want to understand what life is like on the island a year after this harrowing storm. It sounds like from your reporting that a lot of people are still traumatized, they're still frustrated. What is the mood there like?
I think one of the biggest themes that's come up this week, I mean, among the many, are a theme of resilience and a theme of reckoning with colonialism, what it means to be a colony of the United States, the sense that, you know, we're neither full American citizens, at least those Puerto Ricans who are on the island. And so that's when we start looking at what a lot of Puerto Ricans are talking about, which is this idea of resilience, right? Because there's this sense of being neither here nor there for a lot of folks, they've decided to take the rebuilding of the island into their own hands and really attempt to get back to some sense of normalcy, whether it involves the federal or state or local government or not.
Mm-hmm. And many of the residents say they don't want to be seen as just victims, right?
Oh, that's been a huge part of the conversation. A lot of folks say, you know, yes, it was terrible. Yet, you know, they describe the storm in really traumatic ways of just seeing entire swaths of the island, you know, devastated in terms of foliage, in terms of homes, in terms of lack of services. All of that is true. But they were really concerned about the fact that they felt that there was a narrative missing in the media that they were rebuilding, that they weren't just, you know, desperate, that they had banded together themselves to take care of a lot of the rebuilding efforts. So that was something that kept coming through regardless of who we talked to.
Okay, here we have some tape of Oscar Lopez Rivera, an activist dedicated to Puerto Rican independence. And he said the storm cemented his conviction that the U.S. is neglecting the island.
There's no sign for 120 years showing us that the United States really cares about Puerto Rico. The only thing that the United States cares is to continue exploiting the hell out of Puerto Rico.
So how has the last year impacted how other people you spoke to regarding their relationship with the U.S. mainland?
So traditionally, Puerto Ricans on the island have usually focused on two options, right? Whether it's maintaining the status quo, which is this free associated state slash commonwealth relationship with the United States, or going into statehood. The idea of being an independent country, which is, you know, what the Oscar Lopez Riveras of the world and other independent and freedom fighters want for Puerto Rico, is something that really hasn't caught on, I would say, in the mainstream. So there is this tension between, is it better to just become a state and really get the full quote-unquote benefits, you know, being able to vote for president of the country, which they can't do now, or is there some alternative to that? And so I think it's the idea, once again, of colonialism. It's a lot of people have become very aware of their relationship with the United States, more so, I think, in terms of what it means for their day-to-day lives, in terms of what it means for their opportunities, whether that be education, investment, etc. And so I think this re-examining of Puerto Rico's relationship to the United States as a U.S. colony is something that's on the top of everyone's mind.
And what about migration? Are people still looking to get here to the United States?
As a matter of fact, they are. And so there are those people who we spoke to who said, we're staying here in Puerto Rico and we're rebuilding and that's it. But the Center for Estudios Puertorriqueños in Hunter College actually released numbers that show there was an increase in the percentage of and the number of Puerto Ricans who are in the continental mainland United States. Right now, approximately, there are about 3 million Puerto Ricans on the island. There is almost double the number in the continental U.S. And in fact, that conversation, Richard, is one that's really important for people to understand, that the diaspora of Puerto Ricans is also a big part of the recovery conversation right now. In fact, there are more events I'm hearing that are happening in the mainland United States to commemorate than I think are happening on the island itself. It's
wow.
Quite stunning. Yeah.
And here we are a year later. You spoke to a funeral home director, Robert Molina, in San Juan. You said at one point his business had to turn families down, and he has a story of horrifying conditions at an area hospital.
Their morgue was full. So they already had bodies on the hallway. That's very dangerous at a hospital. You know, those bodies will start decomposing. Normally, naturally, it's going to happen. So they were going to have an epidemic there at the hospital.
So the trauma of something like that just doesn't fade away. I mean, I'm assuming even a year later, right?
I think that we're going to see the trauma for many, many years to come. I mean, Robert was describing so many painful moments, including family members who would bring their loved ones to the funeral home and, you know, couldn't afford to do much more, couldn't really afford to stick around for the wake or any other. So they would say, look, just take care of mom, you know, and that was the end of the relationship. And as I'm telling you this, I'm getting goosebumps because it really is. No one will deny that whether these deaths were, quote unquote, a direct impact of the hurricane that week or whether they happened over the course of months, that this has been a traumatic event for the island.
Yeah, the latest numbers have 2,975 people killed relating to the hurricane. But just last week, of course, President Trump disputed that number, saying Democrats made it up in order to make him look bad. How are the people that you're speaking with responding to President Trump's statement?
That's one name that rarely comes up, if at all. Again, we have to remember, anyone on the island of Puerto Rico cannot vote for the president of the United States, whether it's Donald Trump or whoever it will be. They don't have that opportunity to participate in the democratic process that way. We're in New York and we're in the mainland watching these tweets, and we're really involved in what the president's saying and horrified by the way that this conversation's being framed. But remember, we haven't not had power for 6 months, right? We haven't had, you know, to clean a way to debris from our roads. And so, you know, the reality on the ground here is, yes, they hear what the president is saying, but it's not top of mind. People are much more interested in where do we go from here.
And everyone you spoke to, you asked whether their view of what it means to be a Puerto Rican has changed since the storm. What'd you hear?
One of the biggest themes is that people thought, because of this colonial sort of relationship with the United States, they often thought they couldn't rebuild. They weren't able to do it. And what many people found was that, you know what, they could. I remember one woman in particular who said she was a housewife, and then she found herself knee deep in recovery efforts in a town called Loíza. And she goes, I never thought I would be that important of a person, you know, that critical of a role. Mm-hmm. So people have really walked away from this with a sense of community and broader sense of resilience.
Tanzina Vega is the host of The Takeaway from WNYC Studios and PRI. She's been reporting all week from Puerto Rico. Tanzina, thanks so much and safe travels back.
Thank you so much.